complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us to open and apply his holy word to us. Lord, ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the book of Ezra, chapter 8, from which we read, and the second part of verse 22. Ezra chapter 8, the second part of verse 22. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Dear friends, throughout the sacred word of God, we have this solemn division. A division between the sons of Adam, the people of Adam, those who seek God and those who do not. And dear friends, this continues down to today, doesn't it? And of those who do not, there are those who never have done, because they've ever been ignorant of there being a God. But some have come to learn that there is a God of all creation. But they've refused him. They've turned aside from him. They've forsaken him, saying, we will not have this God to rule over us. We will live our own lives in accordance with our own will and our own ways. Oh, dear friends, how solemn to be such a one as that. We here this morning have all learnt of the things of God. And Paul speaks of those where the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of those that believe not. Dear friends, it tortures us to search our hearts, doesn't it? Of whose we are. Are we just of ourselves? Or are we amongst those that seek God to be his and he to be ours? Through his mercy and the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for sins, that we be amongst those of whom he said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my name's sake, and will remember thy sins no more. The hand, or the power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Israel and Judah, they forsook the Lord their God. Even though the Lord had given them great provision in the promised land, delivering them from Egypt, over time they were left to mingle with the heathen and the unbelievers, and even to worship their gods. All the long suffering of God. Yes, he chastened them. He brought hard things against them. His wrath was against them. But there came the time when, after so many years, They did not return unto him with all their heart. There may have been some outward form of worship, but God looketh upon the heart. And they'd forsaken him. And Israel was dispersed amongst the other countries by the Assyrians. And Judah was taken into captivity. But oh, the mercy of God. He knoweth them that are his. There were those who were taken into captivity of the Jews who did yet seek him, such as Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. There was Ezekiel, the prophet. And there were others also. There was a remnant who suffered under the wrath and anger of God for the sins of Judah and Israel. But dear friends, the Lord was ever mindful of them. He was with them there in their captivity. He was with them there in their low estate. And through his mercy and the faithfulness of his word, which he spoke, there was to be a returning again to the worship of God. Dear friends, we're living in days, aren't we, when there is much evil, turning aside, forsaking God. Perhaps 100 years ago, most acknowledged God. Many went to the house of God for worship. But oh, in the last, shall we say 80 years, what a decline has come, particularly in the last 25 years. A forsaking of God, of acknowledging of his being, of his presence, of the salvation of souls in Jesus. Dear friends, is his wrath against us? Is his power against us in judgment? Oh, we fear, don't we? That's what we deserve. And yet is there not a remnant? Is not a remnant of whom he shall save? Is not a people that is known unto him? Dear friends, if there was not such a people upon the earth today, then the earth would finish. For the salt of the earth would have ceased. And the salt which is a preservative would preserve this earth no more. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy if you and I are amongst those whom the Lord hath chosen in his redeeming love, has paid the price for our sins and called us by his grace. Dear friends, it's the vital thing to seek after, isn't it? To seek that we may be delivered from his wrath to come and be amongst those whom he shall call up higher into the eternal kingdom of God in heaven. We have such a one here, I believe, with Ezra. Ezra was born in Babylon, in captivity. As we are all born, aren't we, in captivity of our flesh, in Satan's grasp, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So was Ezra, spiritually, as well as a time of captivity physically. We can see that because at the day he was born, the captivity had already begun to end, with those of Judah going back with Zerubbabel, back to Jerusalem to build the temple and to restore that which was destroyed in the days of Cyrus. They had their adversaries, didn't they? They laid the foundation of the temple, but it was soon stopped by their enemies round about under authority of the king then of the time. It was many years later. The old one say many years, 10 years, 11 years later, when Haggai and Zechariah sent by the Lord to stir up their spirit, that they would begin to build. And it was by the Spirit of the Lord upon them and the power of the Spirit within them that they continued and denied and defied their adversaries. Now we began to build in the, was it the fourth year? No, the second year of Darius, a new king. And the temple was built and finished in the fifth year of Darius the king. That was 20 years or more. And then through the history of the kings of Persia and the Medes, it was another 50 years before Ezra was stirred up to go and return to Jerusalem to strengthen them in the law. For many had been born in Babylon who returned to Jerusalem. And they knew not the Hebrew, they knew not the law, they could not read it. They had limited teaching of it. It was the Lord in his time and his way who appointed Ezra. The Lord affected Ezra's heart by the power of his Spirit. We read, didn't we, how Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Not just to seek the Lord, but and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. The Lord's work, stirring up one, Ezra, a ready scribe. That was the order of 50 years since Zerubbabel returned. So we can say that Ezra was one who was born in Babylon. But he's given his heart under the influence of the Spirit and the leading of Almighty God to be wise and understanding in the law. He wasn't taught directly like Saul of Tarsus was at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem. Ezra would not know such person as that to teach him. He was solely taught by the Lord. Oh, dear friends, and those who are solely taught by the Lord will use them for his honour, for his glory, for the good of his people, for the good of his church. So Ezra, determined, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and constrained to return to Jerusalem, where his people were, where the house of God was, where the temple had been built. But oh, the difficulties that were before him. It wasn't just a matter of getting up one morning, collecting his books together, and making the journey to Jerusalem. Such was the power there that he had to seek the permission of the king. The king Artaxerxes. Because Ezra knew that he needed to take more priests. He needed to take more Levites. The office bearers in the service of God back at Jerusalem. There was a limited number very much there. And he needed a finance to establish more firmly the time of worship and the glory of the temple for the worship of God, for the instruments of worship and so on. So Ezra had to go and ask the king. And we read, don't we? In that first verse we read in 7 chapter 6. And the king granted him all his request. The king granted him all his request. He granted him permission to go. He granted permission for him to gather people together. He even added to the freewill offering which the Israelites would give to Judah, to Ezra to take to Judah. His own counsellors and officers, they added to the treasures which Ezra were going to take. Or whatever Ezra asked for, the Lord was able, wasn't he, to give him exceeding abundantly above what he asked or think. Why? Because of the good hand of the Lord God upon him. Oh, dear friends, this phrase occurs in many ways, doesn't it? And many times in the portion we read. According to the good hand of the Lord his God upon him. Dear friends, if you and I seek to walk in the ways of God, do that which is right and honouring in his sight, constrained within us and by his Spirit, then, dear friends, be sure the hand of the Lord your God will be good upon you and help you to overcome all that is against you. Those that seek the Lord. Who are those that seek the Lord? Dear friends, they are they that fear the Lord. And as you've heard me say, those that fear the Lord don't flee from him as we would flee from a man with whom we fear. A danger on earth, we would flee from it, wouldn't we? But in the fear of God, it constrains us to, draws us to him. Because we know, we realise through the teaching of the Spirit within, that if we are left outside of the love of God, oh, how solemn is eternity for us. And so we seek for his mercy. We seek for the pardoning love. We plead with him for pardon. And dear friends, those prayers are heard, aren't they? Because they're initiated by the Lord in your heart that calls you. By his grace, loving kindness, his love towards you is eternal. And then, dear friends, that desire, isn't it? That desire to do that which is right in the sight of God. To live in accordance with his ways and in his words. It's James, isn't it? Who says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Oh, that is very evident with Ezra. A faith of his trust in God. The work of God within him with the gift of faith and trust. He would endeavour to do that which was for the will of God revealed to him for the honour and glory of God and his people. So that first obstacle, according to the good hand of the Lord his God upon him. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But then there came another difficulty. He gathered the people together, but there were no Levites amongst them. None had freely come to join together with Ezra to go back to Jerusalem. There were no Levites who were necessary to perform the sacrifices in the times of their worship. Oh, how vital was the role of the Levite in the worship of God, in the dispensation of the Jews. Ezra knew he could not go back without any Levites. So he sent some of those who were with him, the chief of the fathers there, unto Iddo, who was the head of the Levites and the Nethinims, in that place called Kasiphia. He did not know what would take place, did he? But he had to seek that there would be some who would come. He didn't just sit back and do nothing and almost like a fatalistic spirit. No. He had to do what he could. Oh, we have that, don't we, in the Word of God again and again. In the exercise of the pathways before us, seeking to do the will of God, we have to take those steps which are helpful, but in the fear of God. I'm sure Ezra prayed. I'm sure Ezra prayed for them to be willing to come and join him to go to Jerusalem. And when those he sent returned, they came back. Oh, with a man of understanding named Malai and the sons of Sherebiah and Ashbiah and a further 120 Nethinims, they were the Levites. What did Jezra do? He acknowledged it was by the good hand of our God upon us. The good hand of our God upon us. Oh, how he trusted in the Lord and honoured and with thanksgiving all that took place to provide his need, to overcome each difficulty, each trouble. But then there was that great mountain. That great mountain was the journey. It was many hundred miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. It was a very terrible terrain. There were many robbers. There were many thieves. There wasn't any law and order in those days, as you might say there is attempted to be today. And they had all this wealth with them. All this gold, all this silver. As well as all themselves, younger and old. A great mountain. The journey to be taken. Because Ezra had said to the king, oh, that which is our text, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So the Lord will defend us. He'd said that he was ashamed to ask for soldiers and help of the king. Because he declared his faith in God in everything, in the way that the Lord would have him go. Oh, dear friends, what a teaching there is for us, isn't there? This exercise of faith in God, in the way the Lord has constrained us and would have us to go, seeking to do that which is right in his sight. Faith. Not seeking help from anybody else, but casting all one's care and all one's way upon the Lord, trusting in him at all times. But they couldn't presume that it would be so. They needed some sweet assurance. And we read how Ezra gathered all the people together. He said, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. I proclaimed a fast there. Dear friends, that was quite a common thing with the Jews, to have prayer and fasting when there was a great, certain, important matter before them. There was only one command in the law for fasting, and that was at the time of the Day of Atonement, when the high priest slew that bullock, first of all for his own sin, as he went into the Holy of Holies, and then the sacrifice for the people, the sins of the people. And then the high priest put his hand upon the head of the other goat, that's called the scapegoat, and confessed all the sins of the people, and that goat was then led away, signifying the putting away of the sins of the people from before God. It was on that day alone they were told to afflict their souls. That means not to have any food or drink. But the Jews did it at other times as well. They did it at any time they were in great trouble and difficulty. They fasted and prayed. What was the significance of that? the need of the Lord's help to them was greater than the needs of their bodies physically. Oh, dear friends, what an attitude of dependence upon God. That the supply of his help, of his mercy and grace, his defence, his provision, was far greater than that which we needed upon this earth for the good of our bodies. Didn't David say at one time or another, oh, that seeking the Lord was greater than the need of his food and drink? And so they prayed, and so they fasted. And the Lord heard that prayer. We're not told how he gave them indication. But as they said, so we fasted and besought our God for this. And he was entreated of us. You know, dear friends, when we pray in times of trouble, earnestly, how do we pray? With fasting. Well, when we come to pray, we have many things upon our hearts and minds, don't we? Things for our earthly good. Things for the Lord's mercies upon us in our daily lives. Perhaps for our health and strength. Perhaps for a decision in something we've got to decide upon in a providential sense. But that great mountain upon us, that fear of walking in the ways of the Lord as he has constrained us. Oh, that great mountain. Dear friends, that is the sole object of our prayer. Everything else is set aside. We pray, as it were, without ceasing, praying for that specific matter till we know within us that he has heard us and will help us and will grant us all the supply of our need. That's his presence with us, isn't it? Oh, the mountains, they flow down at his presence. How sweet it is, dear friends, to humbly and earnestly seek the Lord, afflicting our souls, as we might say, not asking for anything providentially good, but just that for our help. Just that for our help in the trouble which is before us and upon us. Dear friends, that's a humble prayer of faith, isn't it? A humble prayer of faith. Knowing that only the Lord can help us. He honours those prayers. And so then they set forward. Then they set forward. And it took them 4 months. Over 4 months to make the journey. From Babylon to Jerusalem. What a dangerous journey. We departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month. I know in chapter 7 he said the first day of the first month. But that was when Ezra began to gather all the people together. And to gather everything that was needful. And then there were 3 days, weren't they, by the river of Ahava and praying and it was the 12th day before they actually set foot to go on that journey. And the hand of our God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy. And as such as lay in wait by the way. The hand of our God is upon all for good that seek him. Well, dear friends, God does not change. Ezra's God is our God. Oh, do we prove the good hand of our God upon us? And dear friends, what an exhortation to seek him all our days. To seek that which is good. To seek his will. To seek to walk humbly before him. What is the exhortation to us? I often refer perhaps to that in Micah. The Lord hath showed thee that which is good. What doth he require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Dear friends, if that's your soul's endeavour, day by day, committing your way unto the Lord that you will obey that word, then you're seeking the Lord, aren't you, to obey his voice, then the hand of the Lord, the good hand of the Lord will be upon you. It doesn't mean to say you won't have any troubles. It doesn't say you won't have any difficulties and tribulations. No, Ezra had them, didn't he? But has he pursued? Has he persevered? Has he endured? Trusting in this Lord, God provided all things for him. He is faithful that hath promised. Oh, God is a faithful God. And dear friends, it's by these things there are the evidences that you are his and he is yours. And that's what you need, isn't it? These evidences. Evidences of the good hand of the Lord upon you to help you. Then, dear friends, we must continue in prayer, mustn't we? That we may have these sweet assurances that the Lord is ours. And we is his. Oh, the Lord keep us from, in the times of trouble, from falling away, forsaking him, departing from the exercise of faith. We can so easily do that, can't we, when matters rise against us. Our mind just goes to the second epistle of Peter, in that first chapter. Dear friends, here's those who seek to do that which is right in the sight of God, who fear him, endeavouring to walk in the ways that are everlasting. It says, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, seeking the Lord in all your ways, trusting in him at all times. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Oh, dear friends, how needful it is, isn't it? To be obedient to his voice. To obedient to that which perhaps is an exercise in the sovereign will God has placed within us. How we should serve him who has given his life for sacrifice for our sins. The Lord is sovereign. Dear friends, we have there our general lives, how we should live them. And to prove the Lord his good hand of upon us all our days. Can we not say so today, looking back over our lives, through all the changing scenes of lives we've come so far? What a mercy if we can say, oh, and we have progressed to today because of the good hand of our God upon us. Dear friends, do know that Ezra was seeking the glory of God through the service of the worship of God at Jerusalem. For the praise and glory of his name in the exercise of it. Dear friends, the Lord gives those exercises today. He gives those exercises in our hearts, in what we shall do, for the praise and glory and the furtherance of the gospel. The exercise of, yes, membership of churches. Has any of you got an exercise that way? for office bearers, for ministers of the gospel. Dear friends, we need them today, don't we? Oh, this was a terrible time in the days of Ezra. It was a day of small things. It's the day of small things today. Oh, let us not forsake the exercise the Lord places in our hearts. Stirs us up. For dear friends, I can assuredly tell you that if the Lord would have you go in a certain way, he will exercise your heart and be constrained to look towards it, to seek it. And we fear because of all the obstacles that are in the way, all the things which can hinder and set aside. But what a word we have here. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. We have the exercise of Ezra, and dear friends, these accounts are left on record for us, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Oh, that the Lord will fulfil his purpose through us and in us. We had that text, didn't we, on Wednesday evening, concerning the Apostle Paul, who looked back. Oh, he could say, couldn't he? All I would have you understand, brethren, that all these things that have fallen out unto me have rather fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. That was how the Lord called him. That was the exercise in his heart when he cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, the difficulties and troubles he had to pass through. But dear friends, Paul came there by the good hand of the Lord upon him to help him, to deliver him, to provide for him amidst all those things that were against him for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, dear friends, may the Lord exercise us more and more in whatever way he will choose for us for the furtherance of the gospel, the witness of Christ. In our behaviour, in our conversation, as we meet others. Oh, let us seek for it. I was touched by the second hymn which our friend had chosen. He did not know I was going to choose this text. I did not look at the hymn until I'd chosen it. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Goodness immortal and divine, the bliss of endless day, the Lord of God will make to pass before us in the way. The bliss of endless day. Dear friends, as we seek to walk in the ways of God in our earthly lives, I trust we're looking unto Jesus. And when we come to our last day, all we shall be able to look back and see all the way the Lord our God has led us. According to his good hand upon us, according to the gift of his Holy Spirit within us. And we can say, my Jesus hath done all things well. Oh, do not let us, dear friends, be left to the desires of our own hearts, which would not go these ways. These are the ways of the Lord. As David said, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And dear friends, in that way the hand of our God is upon all of us, all them that seek him. And it's upon all them for good. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Well, may the word here exercise our hearts. How are we walking in our daily lives? Are we in that straight and narrow way, looking unto Jesus, seeking all for his honour and glory? Or are we left to ourselves, valuing the things of this earth and the riches of it and the pleasures of it more than the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the walking in his ways? I leave these things with you. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Amen.